The Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast is brought to you by the following sponsors: EliteForm.com, IgnitionAPG.com, PlayUSA at PlayUSA.com, and Sorinex Exercise Equipment at Sorinex.com. And now, the Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast. Welcome to Iron Game Chalk Talk with your host, Ron McKeefer.
Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go! Let's go! Everything you got!
On this podcast, hear Coach McKeefer's straight talk about training, featuring the top strength and conditioning professionals from around the world. And now, here's your host, Ron McKeefer.
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefer, and this is episode number 177. It is Squattober, and I'm excited to have Brian Clark with us. Brian is the head strength coach, Noblesville High School in Indiana, and got to know Brian through the years. We've spoken a lot of clinics together. I've spoken at his clinic a couple times there at Noblesville. We're hosting one of our play summits there in 2017. That'll be March 4th, so you're going to want to make sure you you mark your calendars for that. But Brian does a great job hosting that event. He's got a phenomenal facility, especially for any weight room, but let alone a high school strength and conditioning program. And you know, I wanted to have him on the show. You know, I think two things that have really stood out to me about Brian that I wanted to make sure that we touched on was just his overall program and how he's integrated himself within administration, within the school district, and how he's been able to create a program that has support not just by his coaches, but by his administration, his school district, and all those types of things. And so he's got a lot of great takeaways there. As we've talked about on the show quite a bit, you know, I think that the high school strength and conditioning is the number one should be the number one focus of our organizations, of our strength coaches, and as a profession, just because there's so much opportunity for jobs, but there's also an opportunity there to make an impact on these athletes younger and younger. And I know Brian does a great job there. He also does a great job with technology. You know, he's used technology in the past to help, you know, fend off some really critical things, you know, with depression and, you know, those types of things with athletes. He's able to kind of intervene when needed. He's also been able to push workouts to he's created his own program to be able to push athletes' workouts and things along those lines, and done it in a way that it's been integrated seamlessly. And so just lots of things to get into here. You're really going to enjoy it. Before we do, as I mentioned at the top, it is Squattober. You know, Sorinex is sponsoring this episode, and you know, Sorinex has been with us for a couple years now. And as you see in the background, it's the rack that I put in my garage where my family and I train. I can't say enough great things about the product, but you know, given here in Squattober, I definitely recommend going out getting your shirt. I made sure to get mine. You know, get that and then make sure that you're hitting your squats. And it's just what a great way to bring attention to a fantastic lift all month long. And, you know, Aaron Osmus, who was just on the show, does a fantastic job of putting things out on pen and paper strength apps. So you're going to want to follow them. Make sure if you're not following Sorinex on social media, you do that as well, as they not only put out great content, show awesome facilities, but they're putting out some really cool training programs and things along those lines. And so make sure to follow Sorinex. Make sure to put Sorinex Summer Strong on your calendar as well. I think that's going to be May 20th, if I'm not mistaken. But just a fantastic company, fantastic people, and what a great way to represent this month. So sit back, enjoy this episode with Brian, and I'll see you on the other side. All right, guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. Excited to have a buddy with me today, Brian Clark at Noblesville High School. Brian and I have spoken at clinics together. I've spoken at his clinic a couple times. We're going to be going back there in 2017 as well, and with a play summit, and just an awesome speaker, awesome host.
great strength coach, man. I'm excited to have you on the show, brother.
Oh, I appreciate it. This is a great opportunity. I'm looking forward to talking some shop here and learning myself.
Brian, let's go back, to the beginning now. Just really quick, Reader's Digest version, kind of why you got into strength and conditioning and the course you've taken to get there to Noblesville.
Yeah, sure. Like most of us out there, we were athletes in high school or college, and we had our ups and downs and setbacks. You always think about how you can kind of contribute. And truly for me, I didn't know exactly what type of avenue of sports I'd go into, but I believe it was God's plan around 2000, 2001 through a student teaching piece at Butler University. I got placed at Ben Davis High School with one of the best strength conditioning coaches in the world by any means, Kevin Vanderbush at Ben Davis High School. So as soon as I walked in there the first day, there's some great stories just about how impressive that place was and the coaches and how their culture operated. I knew right then and there that this was something I wanted to pursue. And fortunately for me, Kevin's a master strength coach. He's a great mind and great mentor. And so he was able to kind of show me the way initially. And then from there, it just was hooked and anchored, and there we go. So, but I went to Butler University, did my undergrad there. Also was a baseball player, originally from Chicagoland area. But then I went back to Butler and actually got my school administrative license, which has really tied into a lot of the successes or avenues I've been able to pursue in my career. So that's kind of the initiative right there. And now I live here in Noblesville, Indiana. I love it here. Great place to be. Got a wife, three kids, dog. Life's great.
Well, we're going to dig into a lot. And I know you're just coming off of a back injury. So we're going to keep this fairly short.
That's how we roll.
But, man, well, there's lots to dig into there. I want to go into first. Let's talk about one of my favorite questions is always just talking about, what's one of the biggest mistakes you've made in your coaching career and how you've learned from it. And I always ask this question because I feel like if as a young coach or other coaches, if you can manage to sidestep some of these landmines that you're going to inevitably hit as a coach, you can reach, the levels of success that you've had or others have had so much faster. And hopefully, usually, we make those mistakes at the expense of our athletes. And so if we can avoid some of that, I think that's key as well. So for you, what's some of the things that you've done, one of the mistakes that you've made?
Well, I look at early on, and I think it's a common sense nature thing when somebody would say, well, I wish I had done different programming. But I think that comes with time, maturation, and just flight hours experience. But along with that, I think even more, as my program's developed, or I should say our program developed, has been creating more ownership. Ownership with the players, ownership with the coaches and administration. There's a difference between buying and ownership. Buying is, Coach McKeefer and Coach Clark's idea. The contingency of success is everybody else doing it. And that does work from time to time. But really ownership is, this is our idea together, bringing more people to the plate. So one of the things I try to even do now with our athletes is I tell them every day, one of my main objectives for you is I want you to become a student athletic performance coach. And we do that by cueing. We do that by constantly throwing out the objectives, and we talk about culture, which is tolerance and expectations. So the more transparent you are with people and the more ownership you create from the early on standpoint, from clearly communicating, I think you'll start to avoid a lot of issues. Plus the other thing is, kind of like if you go into bookstores and those things even exist anymore, you see a million books on exercise, food, finances, relationships. Everybody's an expert.
Right.
And especially at the high school level especially if you're a new strength coach going into a place, most likely if you're young, you're the first strength coach they've had. And so coaches giving up that portion can be a struggle to begin with in itself. But then more than anything, everybody's lifted weights. And just because they played at a certain level, they think that qualifies them. So you have to really tread that line there cautiously. But one of the best ways to do it is create that ownership with them. So bring them in and educate them along with yourself. Really show authentic and passionate leadership in your own self for your profession, your kids, and you'd be surprised how much smoother the journey will be. But by the way, I'll tell you right now, young strength, it's not going to be smooth.
That's right.
And that's okay. Nothing ever is. And but if you create ownership and you work your butt off, good things happen.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to the old adage, it doesn't matter how, you can write the best program on paper, but if you can't get them to do it, it doesn't mean anything. And I've been in there. I've watched you work with your athletes. I've seen videos that you've shown of hundreds of athletes in the weight room at a time. How have you been able to structure? Because you went to a pretty cool situation there Noel, well, your weight room is one of the nicest I've been in at the high school level. How are you able to get the support, the resources, and then create a team around you to be able to manage that kind of those kind of numbers?
Well, it starts with really a great administration. And you hear people say that all the time, but generally here at Noblesville, the administration goes beyond just our school administration. It's your school board, and it's your community, and it's getting people rallied behind that. So we are fortunate enough to have a community and board and building principal and athletic directors that wanted to do something. Now, when I first got to Noblesville, this is my ninth year, they were in about a 1,300-square-foot facility that had stuff that was 25 years old. I mean, to give you an example, there were six powerlifting platforms, but only four 45-pound bumpers. You know, that was something ain't right, you know. But and there were about 86 kids in the program. Now here we are 9 years later. We're in a pretty large-sized facility with 690 kids who take the class. And that's the class. There's 115 kids of six sections each. So now you say, well, how'd you get it from 86 to this number here? Well, it's kind of a long process. But the most simple thing I did was make sure I was present. So, for example, when I came from Warren Central High School on the east side, which is power, great facilities, great leadership,
right.
You know, we had 100 kids after school staying every day. My first week here, I realized, wait, this is a different culture. Kids aren't hanging around, so I blare music on this old crappy, you know, type of radio. We just blare the music, and people pop in this little waiter and say, what's going on? And you start introducing yourself, building a relationship. But more or less from there, it was then getting with the coaches. And once again, go beyond selling them. Really creating ownership and then being present. So there's some other administrative things that go on here, but I'll talk about the big five real quick that you have to have wherever you're at. Central office, superintendent, however you want to look at that. You have to have central office, building principal, athletic department, guidance department chair is critical, or school counselor. And then the last one is going to be your wellness or PE department chair. When those five people least professionally agree in concept, then you have a chance. If you got a chink in the armor through there, you've got to make sure that you work on that as soon as you can. So for us here, we got all five in line, and it's just made the process of transition for our kids and coaches much smoother.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, over time, you've become the wellness PE chair, haven't you?
Yes, and that kind of goes back into why I got my administrative license in 2005. It was just, I was at Pike High School and Warren Central High School prior to Noblesville, both great places in Indianapolis. And I had some great mentors. And a few different times along the way, I'd hear, well, you don't understand what it's like on the administrative side as you're trying to build programs. And I'm not saying they were wrong. There's, you know, a lot of times I think people look at it, it's kind of like the movie Patch Adams. How many fingers do you see? And they say four. Well, if you look past it, there's eight. And a lot of times in education, you look past four, there might be 36, realistically, of all the considerations. So, when I went ahead and got that administrative license piece, that enabled me when a position opened to slide into that role, kind of create more ownership with levels of people that I wouldn't necessarily hit on a day-to-day job just entering the weight room.
Do you feel like, you know, that your success at Warren Central and then becoming the department chair, that's made it easier? You haven't had to fight some of the battles that some other coaches would have to fight. What advice would you give this young coach that's coming out of college that maybe they're approaching a high school for the first time without that level of success, without that department chair title,
right,
to be able to build something from scratch?
Well, you know, that's a great question, because I'm going to kind of back this up a little. When I first came to Noblesville, coming in here being blessed to be part of 10 high school state championships, mid-license, yeah, the whole bit, I walked in here thinking, okay, they're going to kind of walk in here and say, what do you need? And the red carpet's going to roll.
Right.
I wish I could tell you the red carpet rolled. That wasn't the case. And I'm not saying there wasn't support.
Sure.
You had people in their own right, coaches who've been coaching 25 years going, hey, that's great that you had success there, but I've been doing me too.
Yeah, sure.
You know, so you kind of had to break those walls down there again. So I think, number one, going into everything, don't think you know everything. You know, strength coaches, we have to have an aura about ourselves. You have to have confidence. There's no doubt about it, but don't come to the point you're so overconfident that you present yourself with an unapproachable kind of mantra about yourself.
Right.
Just joke around that, you know, guys like me get stereotyped. You look at me and 6'5", 260, you know, high and tight. It's mainly because the bald spot's rolling at this point in time. You know, they look at you, and what they don't realize is that, you know, when you're in high school, you have good grades or other things that go about yourself. So
right.
I think going there with the right approach is number one.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's so important for these for your coaches, because I fully believe, I don't know if we were talking about it off camera or not, but I think that's, you know, we've talked about this on the show quite a bit about, you know, high school strength and conditioning kind of being the untapped market. I mean, there's so much opportunity there. And you think back to this profession of strength and conditioning being birthed out of a time when lifting weights was considered bad.
Right.
The fact that there's not a coach there, that should not intimidate us at all. It just, right, we got to go find the opportunities. But it's guys like yourself that have dug in and worked the system. I mean, you've been able to, you figured that, you know, but you would have a little bit more control over your department and the way that you wanted to be if you were the department chair. And so you went and you did that, you know.
Because it takes out one less person having to go and, for more or less better terms, get permission from.
Agreed. Yeah.
You know, doing that. And then, like I said, it gets you at a level then you can meet with other department chairs, other administrators, et cetera. And it works out quite well.
Absolutely. You know, having been in your weight room and watching you work, you know, one of the things that I took away was – I can't even remember exactly what it said on the sheets, but you had some sheets of paper that were laminated on your platforms with some cueing, some, you know, just some cueing. And I know from watching you work with your athletes and seeing your videos and whatnot, that cueing is a big part of it. Talk a little bit about where that comes from, and then you know how you've developed your own voice that way.
I think cueing is now maybe a new buzzword people use a lot, but when you, I don't care if you got a program of 15 kids or 115 like I have now, you have to have it. And I'll tell you this right now, the sexiest thing about when you are a teaching license certification person and you have your strength accreditations, it gives you such an advantage. So for all the strength coaches out there, just go get whatever credential you want. Get the teaching license. Not only is it going to get your foot in the door if that's your aspiration, but the pedagogy of teaching. You know, how you do things, understand by design. You'll find one of the things is your best teachers out there are your best coaches. Why? They start with the end result in mind. Then they know how to get the student athletes, how to set goals, how to make the right instructional choices. So back to instructional choices for us, especially because of the amount of kids we have, and it's kind of like a little army in here. Everything's very minute to minute. We have cues everywhere, whether they're laminated, taped on a platform, or up on whiteboards. So if, like, that's our power clean. So we do, it's a push-pull. Drop pop. So we make it real simple. We want to push through your heels, pull high, and then drop your hips and pop your elbows. Yep. And so how we simplify things, we try to make everything like a Walmart version, is the power clean for us, how we speak around here, is nothing more than a sexy front squat with a great high pull and link those two things together. I mean, you really have to dumb it down, you know. And so one of the negatives of that is a lot of times we lose the hips coming through, so we work bar complexes on our turf and hinge stuff to kind of supplement it. But cues for us are all over the place. We use magnets with clips.
Yep.
Put them on a squat rack, just with index cards. Because I think we've identified, it might sound like a lot to a lot of people, and it is, but for variances, we have about 117 exercises that we use routinely.
Right.
So what I'll do is we write the cues in a corrosive. So the cues are in black or blue, split it, corrosives in red. For every exercise we do, then I have kids who are concussed or hurt, they duplicate that card for me. So that way, so we work on operations of six, so there's 12 kids per station.
Right.
So we have that at each station, they know exactly what they should and shouldn't be doing. Which then goes back to ownership, being a performance coach. We were also about to stay in class. If you can look at our board, the readables, know what the cue and the corrosive is, visualize that and see that. Now when we also stress servant-compelled leadership. When you're watching your partner perform,
right,
know what to look for. If you see it, great job. If it's not there, correct it, and it all starts to come together. So everything's intentional and purposeful.
Yeah, I think it goes back to what you were saying earlier, that you're trying to make everybody kind of a student coach, you know, and that's teaching. I mean, that's, you're not just going in there to go lift weights, or it's an activity for 40 minutes or an hour, whatever it may be. They're actually going in there to learn how to help, you know, how to program, how to help take their athletes – watch, you know, training and correct exercise technique and all those types of things. And I think that's something that, again, when you're trying to make an argument for what we do, it just strengthens our argument.
Well, I was talking to one of our new coaches today. Just came here from Champaign, Illinois, a basketball coach, and coached the college level 10 years in a school setting. So he's just watching our program. And I told him, I said, Corey, I said, people can argue it, but anything you point at here, I can give you a rhyme and a reason. And how it's applicable from this point to this point.
Right.
Now, you might have people different philosophies. So one of the things I would challenge younger coaches out there is when you look at your program, can somebody nitpick any part of it, and you at least have a common sense response as to why you do that?
Right, right.
You can do that, you set yourself up for success.
Well, like you go back to what you were saying earlier. I mean, genius isn't trying to speak above everybody. Genius is taking the complex and simplifying it so that whoever you're working with can understand it. And that's really what it comes down to. So that's what I respect about what you're doing and how you're doing it with, you know, just making it really this short, 2 or 3 step action cues that are
going to Well, the other thing, too, relating to kids, not to cut you off there, because we're in a process with our rookies. With any program we do, there's like 4 layers of interventions throughout it. I do not have an intro athletic weights class, intermediate. I do it all together, right. Males, females alike. I've seen great results of that. Now, there's a lot of front loading with it, but let's say you look at like the power clean, your first pull, second pull, transition, scoop, et cetera. We'll go into, okay, we're going to go standard first pull deadlift, but then we're going to go tippy toe human hot dog. You know, and I literally stole that from Robin Williams in what's that movie? Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where I took it from. I was watching with my kids. Like, that's perfect. So I have a sheet that on one side, it has like the technical breakdown via the NSCA. And the other side, I match it up so it looks like it just to relate to the kids. So, see the two. So like today, it was like, all right, veterans with the rookies, man, we are tippy toe human hot dog the entire day, no bending the elbow. And if they do that, I've won. You know what I'm saying? So it's stuff like that.
Well, I'm sure they haven't watched Mrs. Doubtfire, but it's still a great cue nonetheless.
Exactly.
You know, well, it brings up an interesting point, you know, with your classes. I mean, not all of them are athletes, right?
Well, in the class that is, you're asking?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say because we had a small shift here recently of our 115, probably about 90-95 are all athletes.
Okay.
So we've had a shift where there's some that are not athletes in there. But once again, from a cultural standpoint, because of how we operate, the majority rules.
Yeah, sure.
And then the thing is, if you're not doing it the right way, they know it, and we take care of that pretty fast.
Yeah, so. Well, it brings up the great point of having to be able to cater to the athlete that can barely walk and chew gum at the same time versus, right. You know, Division I scholarship kid that you may have in there as well.
Right. Well, and I'll tell you, today just on our turf, we had a series of up and unders, hurdles drills, agility ladders, some dot drills, and some short cones. And for some kids, you know, I was like, shoot, you're going to have no wheelchair today because you're not that coordinated. You know what I mean? So I was like, okay, this is what you do. And then, you know, you kind of have some other examples there too. But once again, whiteboards. Coaches, go buy whiteboards. Get sheets of paper and put them everywhere so the variations are listed.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, having been in there as well, you know, you use technology quite well throughout. I mean, so much so that you've even created your own program to kind of be able to, you know, essentially help manage this large number of people. Right. But you've also used technology to prevent a suicide or things along those lines. I mean, talk about how you've used it. What's your criteria for selecting technology that you'll use with your program and maybe some examples?
Well, the two-piece technology, one we use in-house that actually one of my former students helped me create. He's now at Purdue as an engineer. That's what he'll do. We have a program called Pro Success, and I've had a lot of coaches inquire about it. I don't charge for it. I really don't kind of give it out either. Not that I won't to somebody. It's not like it's some big secret necessarily, but it's just kind of an in-house thing. And basically what that does is the kid goes in there and puts in the weight and rep that he performed. Right, wrong, different, whether it's at near failure, even rep integrity work where he wasn't ready to be. And then he puts in his weight or she and their year in school. And you get a spreadsheet that comes down to, say you did 200 pounds at 10 times, it'll show you on a spreadsheet of from a 1 rep to 16 rep what weight equals that. So and what the max that would be. So 210 times, depending on how the sheet would be, 260 to 272. So once you do that, now let's say the next day we come in, we're doing like a set of a 642, whatever it might be. They can look and see what weight should be there.
Right.
See, the thing in my world, I know percent lifting, I've had all these conversations with great coaches like yourself, and I've been in different cultural type atmospheres. For my kids here, percent lifting, stuff like that, I think there's too many variables, because,
sure.
Hey, what was the rep integrity, what was the last max out, et cetera. Most kids, if you give them the opportunity just to do 3 sets of 10, they're going to put 185 on a bar and do it 10 times.
Right.
And that might be it. So one of the ways this engages them is there's a +2 indicator. So what they'll end up doing is if 200 by 10 is 260, they'll show it. If you did 2 more reps, you're about a 10 to 15 pound increase. Right. So kids get hooked, and this is instant feedback. Then it does some coefficient work, some other things. So bottom line is every time a kid performs one of our big 3 lifts in here, he or she can go over, type it in our iPads in here, Plus, they have on their own iPads. We give it to them, and they can see their progress where they need to be. The other thing we use is MetroFit. It's a great tool for us. There's some others out there as well, but for us, it's been the most beneficial. And what our students basically do, it's all on their iPads or devices. They wake up in the morning. There's about five different variable things that they'll select. Hours of sleep, muscle readiness, academic preparedness, if they're sick, et cetera. And we get an RTT number, which is a readiness to train. And how the program itself works is that it basically will show you the lowest numbers first. And if it's really bad in the red, then the orange, et cetera. Our coaches, besides me, because once again, I'm one of six, with 690, so you have to have the ownership. They love this piece so much because they look at it every morning. They can get with their kids for simple things like this. Hey, Ron, we saw that your RTT is a 47 today, and you're really stressed out. What's up? I forgot to do my science paper.
Yep.
If you intervene that kid at 7:30, it's amazing. Well, then the two other things is with this many kids in class, let's just be honest. I'm not talking to everybody every single day.
Right.
That's just, so if you're somebody who does their job, you're kind of quiet, you might get some pats on the arm or, hey, how you doing? Good job. But we don't get to that next level. So it gives them a voice. So this one individual I had last year, numbers were bad for 3 days. The indicators came to me. I messaged this person through it. Next thing I know, I found all this information in a short period of time, gave it to our at-risk counselor, and there was some real life concerns there.
Right.
So that has been one of the best things we've done with the MetroFit piece because it allows a voice when you're not heard. The other thing we have at Noblesville is Canvas. That's basically our own online curriculum. You know, a lot of colleges will use it and things of that nature. So we have weekly out-of-class assignments that will reflect on performance, nutrition, sleep, character, you name it. So we have students that will have to complete those in addition to their coursework in class. But then we can set up discussion blogs where they'll have to respond to at least two people. Right. And the nice thing about that, you can automatically – it'll automatically grade itself.
Sure.
You just have to read to make sure they're doing the work.
You know, since most of those kids are in a class, I'm assuming that them filling that out is part of their grade, right?
Yeah. So how we work here, really simple, is it's not that difficult. Every day is worth 10 points.
Okay.
You press out, you do what you're supposed to do, you're gonna get your grade. You know, but then there's those out of class things. So if you're gonna be Eddie Haskell and not do your work and mess around, it'll bite you that way. But right. We try to be a friend of the program. You know, you get the whole semester to make up your coursework.
Sure.
You know, we understand. I think this is the thing, too. A lot of coaches need to remember. Today's kid, high school or middle school, it is a lot harder to go to school now than it was for me in the, you know, early 90s, 80s, et cetera, and beyond. There's a lot more demands. Technology's gone this way. It's a different style of learning. It's no longer just factory calling. It's about how to be 21st century skills learner.
Right.
What information is good information and bad, which fits into our focus. You can Google any workout now.
Yep.
How do we know how reputable it is?
Sure.
Where's the science and root and that kind of thing? So.
Well, what I was getting to is if you were in a college setting and it wasn't a part of a class,
right?
How would you set that level of expectation or, you know, to get them to where they want to do, fill these things out each morning, you know, instead of the chaos of what a college student's life is.
Sure. Well, I think like anything else, fear is a great motivator. You know, I teach our athletes to have internal motivation, but fear always works.
Sure.
You know, if I was at the college level, we had the relationship with the head coach where if I'm finally coming to you about so-and-so,
right,
that, you know, playing time rules everything.
Sure.
So that expectation would be there. If it's not, though, I think it's then having that one, you know, one-on-one conversations, I think, are the trump card for everything. You know, if you yell at a kid or get on a kid in front of a group of people, you're going to be very effective. You get them one-on-one, explain, hey, this is why I want to see these metric numbers. This is how I can help you. This is where things are at. And it goes back to relationships. So
right. Fear,
I think, is the number one trump card. But you don't go that way. You know, once again, forming that good relationship and investing time. When you invest time in somebody and it's authentic and they know it,
sure,
it's, you know, you can be invincible at times.
No, I agree. And that's, I mean, you're right. Fear is the lowest form of motivation, but it works.
It works.
You know, permission leadership, you know, is ultimately where you're going to get the best of both worlds. And so I agree with you on that. Well, man, we end the show with some resources here. What's the best piece of coaching advice you ever received?
You know, one of them was, it was actually did by a mentor program. So it wasn't by a coach, but it was by a professor about how you're always on an interview. You know, and I kind of like that because every single day you've got to come in there like you want to keep that job. And I don't look at my thing as a job, but every day, bring your A game. And I'm not kidding you. Every morning I'm driving in to Noble's Life. I think of things that trigger positive things in my experience of what we're going to do today. You know, I've got an 8-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 2-year-old. My wife hasn't slept in 8.5 years. You know, we're still doing diapers. So today she's coming in 4 hours sleep. So it's like, all right, if today was your interview for Noblesville High School, what would your A game look like? And I'm not perfect, but I think having that mentality helps out there a little bit. I think the other thing is, too, is being brave and bold, putting yourself out there. You know, go – and people say this all the time, but really do it. Go to clinics. If you can't do a clinic, get on Twitter. Because you go on Twitter, you can find so many things there. Start connecting with people. Somebody give you an opportunity, go ahead and do it. Yep. Even if you're scared, even if you don't know what the result is, don't worry about it. Because if your character is strong enough, if you're working on it, that process, you'll learn so many things that the result can only be a win. And the next time you do it, it'll be better off for it.
No, I agree with you 100% on that. Well, it takes us in. I mean, Twitter's a great app, but give us an app, book, and website recommendation.
Well, I'm going to be selfish on my app is the Pro Success because we use that 24/7.
Right.
You know, the NSCA's got some great videos on their app link too. I think I have all of our kids go ahead and look at that because we'll use the coach's eye. You know, there's a million different apps out there to video yourselves, but I'll have the kids compare what they do in class when we're doing our technique piece to what the NSCA has. That's just a concrete one. But the one thing, and this is funny, I was actually telling my mother this over Christmas. I said I was leading a book study, and she goes, "What?" She goes, "You're leading a book study?" Because I'll be, when I was a kid, I didn't read that much. As a professional, I read all the time because it's in your wheelhouse. But Urban Meyer's book, Above the Line, I'm telling you, if you've not read that, I don't care if you're a football person. I take the football studies out. It is almost like a mini Bible of how to do things, and it will really guide you into so many different things. And so we start with our coaches here, deal with our kids. You know, we talk character, process, results. He's going to talk E plus R equals O, which is the event plus your response equals outcome. It's just a great guideline of different pieces. So whether you like football or Ohio State, take that out of it. Above the Line is a fantastic book.
That's great. So. Any websites besides NSCA that you go to typically?
Oh, shoot, man. There are so many different ones that are out there. It's tough for me to name one off the top of my head. You know, my favorite website is Google.
Yeah, there you go.
And then Google takes me there. But honestly, that goes into then what website is that? Who's that backed by?
Yeah.
And a lot of times when you go to different journals on the internet, it'll take you to other things. So it's kind of like that Choose Your Own Adventure book for me.
Right.
Yeah, I guess it seems that tight, but.
Well, that's what Twitter becomes for me. I mean, you go into Twitter, and then all of a sudden, you just go down some rabbit hole, and 2 hours later, you've learned.
Oh, I'll tell you, if you're not on Twitter out there, it's not a scary world. You know, just go ahead, and you start following different things, and you'd be amazed what you can find.
Right. So, I agree with you.
Twitter.
Well, buddy, this has been great, man. I appreciate you taking the time and the way that you go about your business. It's fun to watch, and I've had you know, many, many opportunities to listen to you speak, and each time I've always taken away something and just appreciate the way that you go about your business.
Oh, I appreciate this opportunity, man. This is aces, and for what you've done for yourself in this industry, it's second to none, man. So keep on keeping on. I'm glad I can be a small part of it today.
Appreciate it, man.
All right, take care.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.